Listen, I'm proud of her. Janice has done a fantastic job, not only this semester with us, she served here at TCC, but God has done a tremendous work in her over the last year. Okay, and it doesn't come without a price to pay, okay? Because anytime you step out and say yes to God, that means the enemy says, we're going to test that yes. And so I want you to just be in prayer about what God's doing in her life and what God's doing in her ministry, Overcome. Because when you have a ministry like Overcome, you know that God's going to send her through things so she can overcome. So God never does that without doing it in you. Because then all you're doing is preaching, you're not living. And so we overcome, right, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so she has a testimony about what God's done in our heart and our life. I'm going to turn it over to you. Some of you might be saying, well, what about the offering? Listen, you can give on the way out. We believe that God's going to bless you richly if you stay faithful. We're in a season of giving, right? We call this a season of giving, yet sometimes we have a tendency, I got to hold back because I got to get the gift from my dad. And we don't realize who our true dad is. And so I want to challenge you to be faithful, because when you're faithful, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and he's going to pour out a blessing upon you. Just be faithful. I want to challenge you to finish strong. Last week, we started a campaign for December. Just finish strong. I don't care what January started and looked like, but just finish strong. Do the things you said you were going to do, because God's grace could put you back right on path. Just do it. And God will redeem that time for you. And then I promise you, you'll be blessed. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and we can get started. Let's give it up for Genesis.
Did you miss me? Here I am, back up here in the spotlight. What's up, guys? So like he had said, the last time I was up here, I kind of gave you guys like a little brief rundown of the things that I've had to overcome. And a few people actually came up to me after service and mentioned that it was something that they had been struggling with or just challenged them. And that really hit me, because everything that I do, is including with Overcome or in my life, really in what I walk through, I'm like, God, I don't want to do this, but if one person is impacted, I will keep doing it. And he's so funny that he always sends one person after every time. And I'm like, okay, I will keep going. And that pressing, man, that grape getting pressed, it sucks. And it hurts so, so, so bad. And I cannot even tell you how many tears I've cried. But I'm here. And I'm here because I know that with me, there's so much that stops. And it's not just for me. It's for everyone who sees my life, who sees Overcome, who sees my kids, and then sees the lineage that comes behind me, but where it stops with me and it can continue going into my future children, my future spouse, my future everything and anything else. So I'm here to say that it does suck, but here I am still smiling and still going. And one of the first things that really hit me when preparing for this, and there's a magnet on our fridge that's probably been there for like 2 years. I have no idea, but I've never noticed it until recently. And on it, it says, perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. And it's in Esther 4:14. And Esther is one of my favorite Bible people, just because of who she is. Everything that she stands for, and my message is not on Esther, but man, she hits me. And one of the prayers for my daughter, and even that has been prophesied over my life, is to be an Esther, to bring people out of where they are. When you're not even called, you're not asked to come to before the king like Esther was. It was literally, she could have been killed because she wasn't called, but she still went. And that's the boldness that I want to continue to walk in. And I don't necessarily walk in it every day because, like I said, it's hard, but I do my best in continuing to go through and to be an Esther, to go places that I'm not necessarily called by that person who's in on the throne, but God, who is on the throne, has called me to those places to go and step in. And so here I go. That was a little intro. So I want to share my testimony and some things that really where God has brought me to, because a lot of times that I hear different people come up to me and they'll ask me and they think that, wow, your life's so great. And like, you're doing this and that. And like, your life must not suck. And I'm like, really? You think that? Well, let me just tell you what happened to me. Okay. So at 17, I was saved, and it's not like some crazy, I don't know. It was actually crazy. But at 17, I was saved on a hospital bed. And everyone's like, oh my God, a hospital bed, what happened? Yes, it really sucked. So I got pregnant right out of high school. And when I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Everyone was like, I'm going to this university, and then I'm going to do this and whatever else. And I was like, have a plan. Like, I really just don't know. I'm just kind of here. I never wanted to really aspire to be much because that's what my surrounding was. I just wanted to get out. So I enlisted in the U.S. Army and I was 17 and my parents were totally, totally against it. So I went behind their back and I went through camp and everything I had to do. And on July 25th, I turned 18. So I was just going to sign the papers myself and I was going to go to basic on August 14th. Well, I found out July 12th that I was pregnant with my son. And in my life, literally, you would think that that would be something that you're like destroyed over. But I was so happy. I was 17. I was a wing house girl. If you don't know what wing house is, you wear underwear and like a tank top and you just strut your stuff all the way around. And that was me. And that's, everyone was like, what are you doing? Like, how are you even going to do this? And I was like, no, I finally have a purpose in my life. Like, for so long, I didn't have a reason to wake up. And there was many times where I wanted to take my own life. And I tried, but I didn't. And for whatever reason that might have been. I wasn't raised in the church, so I never said like, oh, God was trying to save me. It was just like there was always something that kept me pushing. So now at 17, I find out I'm pregnant and I'm like, well, I have a reason to live. And with anything that you're walking through, the enemy will always come up so much harder. And one day I was coming home and my mom, I don't really know what came about, but everyone was against it, just like I had said. So that day, you know, like when you're angry at somebody and like them even breathing makes you mad. Like we were arguing about pots and pans. So I'm like, what are you talking about? Pots and pans. And I remember it so clearly. And still to this day, it's something that we will go back and forth with. But she and I got into an argument over pots and pans because I had to move out. And she was like, you didn't even buy pots and pans for your apartment. I'm like, for what? I have a baby. And we ended up getting into a fist fight. And my uncle held me and my mom kicked me in my stomach. And at that moment, I started to bleed. And I've not really gone into detail this much previously, but we're a mature crowd, so we're good. So words were said, things were done, and my uncle and my mom just walked out of the room. I didn't have a car at the time, so I called my son's dad's sister to come and pick me up to take me to the hospital. And immediately when we got there, they couldn't find the heartbeat. And I'm not sure if I said it or not, but I wasn't raised in the church. We were the CEOs, so the Christmas and Easter only, or if my mom did something too far gone, we had to go to church for. So I did go to youth group here and there. We had a thing called Monday Night Momentum, and that was like what I didn't know then. It was the seed that was being planted in my life where Misty and Richie were actually my youth pastors. So I knew when I laid there and they couldn't find a heartbeat, I said, God, whoever you are, if you save my child, I will give my life to you. And in that next moment, they found the heartbeat. And I knew then that God was real. And you couldn't tell me that God wasn't real. So it didn't miraculously, like, it radically saved me. You hear those things where, like, God radically saved me and I'm just on fire and I'm going. No. You still caught me up at Oz. I was still working in Wing House. I was still slinging drinks. I was still smoking weed. I was still doing everything and anything I could to fill that void. I didn't know what it was. And the problem with that was is that right after I had my son, I ended up going to church and being involved in every single ministry possible that you could think of. Genesis was everywhere, but I wasn't fulfilled. I was everywhere, but nobody stopped and said, how are you? What are you doing last night that you smell like that today? Because it was okay that I was serving behind the coffee bar or in the nursery or whatever else. So going out of that, God just continued to show up in big ways, but it wasn't immediate. And I had to walk through those hard times to be able to see like, wow, God, you are there. You are here with me every single step that I go. So going into the next part of it, something happened at the church and I stepped out of it and God had been closing the door for a while, but I just was like, no, I'm here for a purpose. I'm going to make a change because that's what I do. I fix things and it's not a good thing. Don't be the fixer. Unless God has called you to fix, because you keep yourself in bondage when you're not supposed to be there. So God had called me out and I finally decided to leave. So I went and found a different church that really took me in. And with this, I was like, you know what? I'm just called to sit right now. I'm just not going to serve. And I'm called to serve. If you guys know me, you know that I am called to serve and lead and love people somehow. And if I'm sitting down, you should Baker Act me because there's a problem. So I went to this church and I was like, you know, I'm just called to sit. And so I was that person. I just checked Sunday mornings off on my list and I went and I left. For 2 months, I did that. And there was a pastor there and he sought me out every Sunday. He said, are you ready? I said, no, not yet. So finally, I'm like, okay, God's like, you know what? I never called you to sit. You decided to do that on your own, but it's time to get up. So I got up and the pastor said, no, no, not yet. I'm like, you're calling me to sit now? So finally I got into serving. And in that moment, I finally figured out, like, this is what community is. This is who God is. This is where he can show up in his redemption, no matter what that looks like, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through. And it, just because you go through those hard times doesn't mean that God isn't directing your steps through those hard times. You have to go through it to be able to tell somebody else how you got out of it. So now we're walking through this next season of my life where I am on fire for God. You could not tell me nothing. I was leading people. I loved it. And I was like, all right, God, every single step you're elevating me. So now we're like at this next place where I'm like, okay, I'm really high up in leadership. I could potentially replace myself, maybe even be on staff. Okay, God, what do you have next? And I find out I'm pregnant. What? How did that even happen? Lo and behold, a few months prior, I was, in a situation where I did not consent to sex and it still happened. And I didn't know necessarily what had happened, but I knew something had happened. And so when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, God, how could you do this to me? I cursed God immediately, as if it wasn't like me in the act or whomever the next person was or whatever the case might have been. Like, I cursed God because I said, God, if anything were to happen, why didn't you protect me? Why weren't you there with me? And in that moment, he said, look to me through this circumstance. Look to me through this and I will guide you. And that's how I knew that what had happened that night. And it took me months, you guys, probably over a year, to finally truly believe that what happened that night wasn't my fault. Because the way that God showed up, he told me that I was going to be okay and that he was with me. If I was that sinner and I chose to go and consent to that and do whatever reckless thing had happened that night, then he wouldn't have shown up in the way that he did. He wouldn't have birthed Overcome out of the lowest place of my life at all. And when you guys go through those situations, don't blame yourself. Sometimes it isn't you that has happened. It's happened to you. But that's your choice where you stay or if you get up and walk. And I chose to get up and walk. And now here we go into the birth of Overcome. In January of 2019, so last year, God gave me 3 visions through the Daniel fast. One of them was a platform of unmasked vulnerability. And because I was so tired of going to church and seeing people so happy-go-lucky and they were sharing and everything was fun. And then I met one-on-one with them and they're hollow and they cry themselves to sleep. They cover their arms with the scars that are on their arms. Nobody knows what they're doing or the pills that they're popping or what they're doing the night before because it's okay that they're serving. And that hit home. So I said, God, what does this look like? And for months, it kind of just came along in itself. And I pitched it to the church that I was attending and they were like, yeah, let's go. It's gonna be great. And they basically tabled it. And so I tabled it. I didn't think about it because it wasn't in my immediate like point of view. And I was like, okay, whatever. So when this happened with finding out that I was pregnant, in that moment of me sharing and being vulnerable with my pregnancy, as I was so disappointed in myself, and all I heard every single day was how disappointed people were in me. And God said, remember that vision I gave you? Go ahead and share your testimony. Go ahead and share what happened to you that night and see what people have to say. And my DMs were filled with women who either got abortions or stepped down and ran away from the church because the people in the church were the first ones to cast them out. And because I was vulnerable enough to say, this is what happened to me, but this is the choice that I'm making, they were able to then be set free. And that is what Overcome is. Overcome is a platform and a platform of where people can be unmasked and vulnerable with the things that they're going through. God said, you can share your story, but so can everybody else. Give them place where they can be vulnerable to say, this is what I've been through, but this is not where I'm staying. And if you're there now, then I can pull you out. In the lowest parts of my life and through all of these different seasons I've walked over the last 7 years of this crazy thing we call faith, God has taught me, when you're at your end, you'll find me. And every single time that I've been at my end, God has been there to pick me up. Whether it's been my choice to stay at that end, however long I was there, but he was always there and saying, hey, I'm over here. Give me your hand. Let me pull you out. And if you choose to sit there, That's where you're going to be. But his hand doesn't move. How long you sit there is where you're going to stay for however long you choose. I chose to be a victor. I chose to stand up and be able to speak about that. And that's where my hope comes from. That's where my life is now. And that's what I walk in every single day. It's painful, but God picked me up. And every single time I fall, every single time I decide to sit down and throw a temper tantrum, he says, come on, I'm already on the other side. I wrote this whole thing like a while ago when I was supposed to speak when we had Corona craziness. And every single thing from 2020, I swear the reason is Corona. I couldn't do this because of Corona. So I couldn't speak before because of Corona. And here I am speaking, but I have a whole different message today because this week we were at a worship service and I really felt like God was like wrecking me in like a really, really great way. And it's funny because they're all song lyrics, which you will know, but they all mean and they go so much deeper. If you allow it, it really does. Like worship music really just penetrates those deepest parts of you. And like with me personally, like I could not hear a preacher speak, but I would be wrecked by the presence of the Holy Spirit through worship. And that's where I find, and it's funny because in the season where I'm in that pressing moment where I'm like, God, get me out of this. I need something. My worship and my prayer are the two things that are constantly under attack, where I can't feel God, but I'm still like, okay, God, I'm here. I can't hear him. I can't like be overwhelmed with those goosebumps feeling that I'm so desperate for, but he's there. I'm like, even if I don't want to pray, God, okay, just take it. So my first point is God's a way maker. You guys are going to catch on. Catch on very quickly. In the midst of my life, it never seemed, especially to the outside, that anything could be made possible. I was a 17-year-old wing house girl with no hopes of a future. My boyfriend was on house arrest. Let me just paint you a beautiful picture right now. My boyfriend was on house arrest. I was a senior in high school. No hopes, no dreams. I was surrounded by alcoholics, drug addicts, anything and everything else. So for me to stand up here already, that's already a miracle in itself. But even after that, like I didn't have any money to raise kids. When I hear that from people and they're like, I just decided to get abortion or I can't have a kid right now because I just don't have any money. When I tell you I didn't have any money, like there was so many days that I did not eat because I literally didn't have any money, but because my son ate first. So that wasn't it. But if you, that's what the situation that you're in, you will get continued to pull out. I didn't have a house to live in. But when I tell you that God provided a house out of no way possible for me to live in, a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house with an enormous yard and a built-in playground for $600 a month. Really? Doesn't happen. Y'all know when you try to find a house that doesn't happen, okay? Especially not in Pinellas County. Are you kidding? But what Richie had said earlier, and it really like struck me even harder, is that God has to do it to you before he can do it through you. And so, like I said earlier, the things that I'm going through now, I know that I'm going to be able to speak into other people's lives, or they're going to look at me and say, you are a testimony because you kept going. And it sucks, but that's what keeps me going where I am. So God is that way maker. Where it seems like there's not a way, God is making a way. Even if you can't see it, he's still doing it. Stay the course. My second point, he's a miracle worker. This week when I was in quiet time, which I needed a whole lot of, can anyone feel me? Okay, I need a whole lot. I got brought to John 9:2-3. And I'm sure you guys have seen it before or heard it before, but it's a guy that's born blind. I don't know, blind Bart maybe, but he was born blind. And what the disciples said to him really, really struck me. And I think I've read this multiple times before, but it actually hit me this week. It said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the things that you are born with, they're saying that it's because of your parents, their sin, that you're carrying their sin. Or because you have already been born, that's something that you've been born with. So you, those people who say like, I was born this way. No, you weren't. Or you were. Let's keep reading. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed through him. So simply, the man was born blind, not for his sins or his parents' sins, but simply so the power of God could be seen through his miracle. So for you in those situations that you've been in, you might have been born that way, on the opposite of what I said. Because God wanted to do that miracle through you so that other people can see his glory and his goodness. So you might have been born that way. And again, it's your choice if you stay that way. Blind Bart could have stayed that way, but he asked to see. And Jesus then spit in mud. Please don't do this. Spit in mud, put it on his eyes, and he washed it off. And multiple times then the Pharisees asked, "Oh, what happened?" And he said, "I already told you what happened. The Messiah did this to me." And nobody believed him. They kept asking him and asking him and asking him. And he said, "How many times do I have to tell you what happened? You're trying to find something that isn't there. God will continue to do miracles. Jesus will continue to show up. Your life is a testimony for those around you. And just like this man who was born blind, God wants to do miracles through you so that his power can show within you to others. So don't hinder that from people. Be able to be vulnerable and share those things that you're going through. God is that miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. In the midst of the storms, it's hard to hold on to provision. For my life right now, it's hard for that. And I want to be vulnerable with you guys, because right now I'm fundraising for something that is a little bit confusing and people don't necessarily know. And right now it's sad, but I don't know, because I've decided to walk in the way that people have told me to use my platform. So God's not blessing that. And so that was a really, really hard thing I had to walk through, and hard conversations that I've had to have recently, where I'm doing my own thing because I have a platform and I want to do so much. But God said, "This is what I want you to do. Focus on this so I can bless you." So I've been in this desert season for the last 4 months because of what I did. For fundraising, for Overcome, for my relationship, for the promises spoken over my kids, God checks me every time with, "Do you have faith in me, even when you don't see the provision right now?" We praise God from victory and have to remember him to praise him for victory. When you're on that mountaintop and when you're on in that valley, you have to be able to see that goodness, see that victory. Be ready to go. God promised you something and he will fulfill it. Maybe not when you want, and that sucks, but he will. That's the provision that you hold on to. What you're doing right now is you're cultivating that platform. You're getting out the kinks. You're ironing out those kinks so that you can wear that silk dress, so you can do all those things that are just going to work. But right now, you don't know how long it's going to go. But all God says is look at me and keep going. Promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. If he did it before, he will do it again. There's a large part of the song that we had sung on Friday night. It says, if you did it before, he can do it again. He can, but he will. That's the promise that he gives you. If he's promised it to you, he will do it again. And that's where we're at, church. My favorite life verse is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So where you're weak, God is made strong. He is the way maker, the promise keeper, that light in the darkness. And that's where we're at right now. 2020 is a blur. It is dark. But God's still been a light no matter where we've been at. You can't see it now because we're stuck in this corona crap. I will keep saying that. That needs to be a hashtag or something. What did Genesis talk about? Corona crap. But that's where we are. We don't know what 2020 is. And they're like, "I can't wait till 2021. But what are you doing right now to prepare for 2021? What's next? 2020 is not over. Finish strong. Restore the hope. Restore the fight inside of you, church. It is within you that this is going. People are looking at you right now with a magnifying glass because you are a follower of Christ. How are you reflecting that? Did 2020 beat you up? Because I feel like I'm beat up, but I'm still swinging. Are you? So I want you guys to stand with me. And something that you guys didn't get anything else out of my message besides corona crap, hashtag corona crap, it is that God is a way maker, a promise keeper. He is light in the darkness. I'm missing one of them because those are my favorite. And that's what I want us to sing today. And I want us to just declare that over our own lives. that if God has given you that provision, he will give you and walk you to that promise. You are not in Egypt just running astray. You are literally walking to your promised land, no matter how long it takes. God said, I'm bringing you to it. But walk where I'm telling you to walk. If you go off course, come back. So let's sing this together and declare over our lives and believe that God is doing what he promised he is going to do. And this is his promise to you.